and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And I'm delighted to be joined by John Wilson, SVP of EMEA at Deputy. I mean, I really enjoy a title. I had someone last week who was from Rumia, which sounded like a disease, but yes, Senior Vice President, is that right?
Well, we're a pretty becoming much more of a global company, but I basically just head up the EMEA team. Really nice and easy.
That's great. And how long have you been there? It's quite recent, right?
Yeah, I did a meeting with the team just talking about my first 90 days a few weeks ago.
Oh, so, right, okay.
So I'm still shiny and new.
So you passed the 0-90 test in hospitality. That's the one, right? If you can get past your 90 days, you get to survive.
Yes.
So you're still there. That's good.
Yeah, survivor bias, right?
And tell me a little bit about Deputy. Obviously, you're new into the role. Are you new into hospitality or what was your background?
Ooh, so... do you mind if I go right back?
Can I do that? Go as
just
far as you
fun?
Want. Yeah, it's fine.
I come from a small town in Northern Ireland, and it had the highest unemployment rate in Western Europe.
Wow.
So, you know, not exactly the hive of industry. And when I was 18, I was just like, you got to get out, right? So I moved to the UK and I went to university and I was enjoying uni. But I think when you live in that environment, the pull to go and make money was pretty strong. So.
Yeah.
During my summer of my first year, I saw this ad in the newspaper and it said cash paid daily.
And I was like,
this is exactly what I need. This is how green I was. I was doing this job for 3 days before I realized I was a door-to-door salesman. And what I was actually selling was like a diner's club card.
Right, okay.
Where you, as a person on the front door, you bought this card for 20 quid and then you got like 2-for-1s at your local restaurant and stuff. So we would... We would do this all across the Southwest. I was based in Bristol at the time. Anyway, that is to say is I was always very keen to get out and just get into the world of work. And as it started out, turned out to be tangentially of whatever you want to call it, marketing, predominantly in the F&B sector, restaurants and what have you. If you can call door-to-door sales marketing, can you do that?
Yeah, you can.
Can do that.
We all start somewhere.
But... that is to say, so all through my career, I've been working with small businesses. That's really where my kind of core strength goes, small to medium-sized businesses. And then predominantly in F&B or leisure in that kind of segment. And so the reason why I started at that story is a couple of jobs ago, I was managing director for Groupon in Northern Europe. And I thought this was really a funny full circle because actually at Groupon, obviously, we sent billions of emails every year. And it was funny as we were essentially doing the same type of marketing, but at a much, much bigger scale. And it was just funny to me that what started out as a student knocking doors 20 years ago...
B2C, right?
...became email marketing. And I then became the person that went to talk to the restaurants about filling empty seats, and email stole my job for knocking doors. Thank goodness email took
What did you prefer, though? Because I talk a lot about email marketing, not necessarily on the podcast, but just generally in our work lives, talking about does it still work? Is it still efficient? Is it still, you know, bringing return on investment?
Yep.
What do you think about email marketing? Has it moved on at all?
There's always a new and better way of doing business. And I think particularly if you look at the younger generation, they use email a lot less, and there's a number of different apps that they'll communicate on. So it's obviously dwindling. But it's still a powerful channel.
Yeah.
If you use correctly, like you don't want to, like your mix should not ignore email marketing.
No, for sure. And what led you to Deputy? what made you come into, can we say workforce management? Is that the right category to put you in?
Yeah, let's do that. Workforce management is fine. I think, so my previous job, I was heading up Total Jobs here in the UK. Again, caterer.com is one of the brands underneath Total Jobs. Some great people there.
Who we've been stealing.
Having a good chat about that a second ago. Some fantastic people. But again, kind of, it's in that, how do you help businesses succeed? And I was very lucky to have spent 4 fantastic years there. And I was on garden leave. I've never had garden leave before.
I've never been that guy. I'm swear there's someone against me. Yeah. It does what it says on the tin, right?
Well, I'm 47 this year, and I've seen so many of my friends and colleagues over the years get this lucky opportunity. And I was much like you, going, man, I'm obviously too good at my job. So
I call it like having a face for upgrades. When you walk in a hotel and they go, hey, we're going to upgrade you today, just for no reason. I just don't have that face.
No.
So maybe I haven't got a gardening leave face
off. No, so I got lucky this one time. And so I had 6 months off, and I was really, you know, you spend this time, you do a bunch of networking and talk with people and trying to figure out what it is that you want to do next. And one of the things that really touched me quite a lot is during the pandemic and COVID, you know, we realized that frontline workers were like the fundamental engine to us enjoying our lives. You know, when everything stopped, you know, and there was that time we were clapping for the NHS and it was Eat Out to Help Out and this boost as kind of restaurants started to come back. But this terrible scenario when just the whole industry was closed down, you kind of realize that these people sometimes are operating in the background when really they should always be in the foreground because, you know, life's rubbish if these things don't exist. And so as I was kind of thinking, like, what do I love and what do I want to do, is this opportunity a deputy came up. And talking with my current boss, Sylvia Martincevic, she's new CEO there too, came on board in February, is you realize that when we talk about future work, we talk about people like you and me who sit behind a desk and, you know, we have this work from home policy and, you know, we have Slack and, you know, Zoom and all of this technology and Salesforce and whatever else. And you realize that everything that everybody is building and what people are talking about in future of work, they're pointing it at the wrong people, I think. And so deputy is obviously in a boring sense, a workforce management app. But what
sorry for that.
Yeah, but that's true, right? But actually, when you peel the onion, you kind of go, well, what does that actually mean? As well, on the one side, you help businesses be more efficient, save money and time so they can do what they do best, more of that. Fantastic. And I think where deputy takes a different spin is, yes, we want to do that and we put all of our time, effort and energy in that, but also we need to build and apps and resources and tools for the worker as well, because no one else is really doing that. So I think one of the things that sets deputy apart from workforce management in general is just our focus on the end user as well as our focus on the business. So all of those things appealed. And I knew Sylvia from my days at Groupon. She was also COO at Groupon. And so you obviously have these conversations that are going all of the time. And just the more I heard about deputy, the more it kind of just worked into all of the, one, helping businesses be successful, but two, just make sure that the workers in our society who actually provide the most value, like nobody decried the fact that we weren't trading on the stock market or, you know, we sold less insurance. Like, that's not adding value.
No. It's the connectivity, isn't it? It's that emotional piece that we love so much as humans when we're out.
Definitely. And so deputy is majority hospitality, it's some retail and also aged care. So it's all of the areas that were most impacted during COVID. And I just think there's an opportunity that when you finish your day's work, it's like, you know, we're not changing the world here. But if you can do something that makes things a little bit better, then that's a nicer place to work than just somewhere that's kind of moving money around or what have you. So that's
why. Yeah, I think it's for sure. It's really interesting. I'm doing an event on Thursday in Manchester. I hope that's not tomorrow. It's day after tomorrow. And I'm doing an event up there, but I'm talking about literally what you just said. This is so weird. I'm talking about technology pointing at people.
Yes.
And I think, I agree with you. I think that over the last couple of years, if you look at the newcomers in tech or you look at what's really becoming quite exciting in tech, I think people are starting to look at, point at people and start, not just end users, but actually the function of people and what they do and help them automate their day-to-day lives. And how do you think, I mean, you're very early in, I suppose, in deputy. How are people receiving, or how do you feel like the product's being received as you're starting to meet your first few customers, and what kind of challenges do you think they're facing at the moment?
That we're going to talk a long time now. One of the things that I've never really experienced before, so Deputy is an Australian business,
yes,
and we're headquartered in Sydney, large office in San Francisco, large office here in London as well. So, but it's used by 1.5 million shift workers today.
Wow.
Across 100 different countries, but predominantly in those three that I mentioned. So it's really well used. 3 million downloads on the App Store. So it's massive. And actually, when I wear my Deputy t-shirt, if I'm in Sydney and I walked in the street, people stop me in the street and kind of go, oh, you work for Deputy? We love that app. And it makes you kind of go, well, how many end workers in a company like using whatever business tool exists?
Or even quote it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So one, the end users love it. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But where I think we can add value there is where your livelihood and your life interact. And I think in the US, they've recently launched something called Fair Work Week laws, which is basically saying, look, don't change people's shifts 5 minutes before they're due to start. They have a life too. And so it's things like that about creating visibility, creating flexibility, and creating agency for workers to be able to swap and be flexible within their shift patterns themselves, to be able to, you know, meet family commitments and, you know, have a life and do all of these other things as well.
Be like the other people in the world.
Be like everybody else, yeah. And so on that side, the feedback there is fantastic. On the customer side, it's very similar for different reasons. And I think the more often we can hear from customers, understand a challenge, build a product to go meet that challenge, then that feedback increases. And I think workforce management sounds like a relatively simple process, but we were talking just before we came on air about the plethora of different technology companies that are involved, not only in the hospitality industry, but others. And that's because different businesses have very niche problems. And I think Deputy is one of those apps that really aims to solve a lot of those problems, to essentially make one time, give businesses back time, but also help them to save money. We talked a wee bit as well about how businesses use agencies and, and various forms of work. And I think so the Deputy app really, really helps to solve a lot of those problems that customers face. And then leading into your arena here, whereas you're bringing all of these technology providers together, it's how do we work with other people in our industry to make sure that we're providing not only best-in-class from workforce management, but bringing on partners to meet those really different and challenging needs that customers
and
have.
And how do you find that? I'm always in it, because you're from a different industry, I suppose, until you've joined us. How do you find your competitors and partners? Do you find it, is it a kind of a different space to play in, or are you finding that people are quite welcoming and looking forward to working together?
The latter. I think people are welcoming and looking forward together, particularly when you understand that, like, there are plenty of technology providers in this space and others that try and give you an end-to-end solution, which is fantastic, and it's laudable, and it solves a ton of complexity challenges for businesses and just makes life easier. But your needs are not the average needs of your industry, as different things rate higher on your scale. And so being able to have a good, strong network of partners kind of says, look, hey, we don't do that, or we don't do that as in depth as you would like. But here, let me bring someone on board and we can work together. And we've got the integrations, we've got the technology. And so I think if you don't have that, the attitude of working together in partnership with people in your industry, then you're never going to be able to deliver exactly what customers need. Yeah. And I think that's the critical thing, is like, if you're going to listen to the problems that your customer has, you have to understand when are you really good at that. And Deputy is a kind of best in class workforce management. It's spent 15 years just doing this one thing, and so we know how good we are at that. We also know what we're not good at, so then we bring other partners in. So
yeah, it's like that. I always use a brain surgeon analogy. If you've got a problem with your brain, you don't want the generalist to come and help you, right? You want the brain guy.
You're not getting a dentist for that?
Yeah, this guy will do. He's just in the corner mopping up. Yeah, bring him in. Yeah. I think there's a place for, I've got to be very careful what I say, but I think there's a place for the generalists.
Agreed.
Where I spoke to a manager last week who runs 4 pubs. He's an ops manager, and his job is area manager essentially, but he also manages the tech, and I was like, wow, your life. So basically, tech's fine as long as it doesn't break. When it breaks, his life's horrific, and he's got his job. So he said, I just want something, Chris, that's all in one place, so I don't have any logins, I just do that. So I kind of understand his situation, where he wants to simplify it, but also there's a lack of understanding there of what that might mean in the long road if you're going to grow. But then you look at the other guys who come along who are like, I need this to be the best we can possibly be to deliver to our people, particularly with people, I think, because they are the heartbeat of your business, and they're the thing. They're the people that row the boat. So I do believe that, in my opinion, that people should be best in class because they're the one. They're the ones that will kick you out the boardroom or keep you in, right?
So yeah, and I think if we can name drop here a little bit, but I think
go for it.
Honest Burgers is a great example of that. Just in really laser beam focused on delivering excellence all the way along the pipeline they're thinking about as they think about managing people. And you realize that if you're so maniacal about delivering service, then you will upweight how these things need to work together. If you want to have immediate pay, or you want to have clarity on tips, or you want to have real good visibility in your schedules and allow staff to be able to swap schedules and stuff, there's a number of those things where if you really want to do the absolute best that you can, then you have to get a group of partners who can work together and talk together so that you as a business can deliver your vision to that business. Yeah. And I think sometimes that is an all-in-one solution. In Honest Burger's case, that wasn't the right thing. And actually, it was about bringing together a number of best-in-class technology providers.
Honest, but it's really, again, really relevant because I was on a panel with Phil Eales last Thursday in Hawksmoor in Liverpool. And I've met him before, but I've never spent quality time with him. And I thought he was, and I'm not just blowing smoke up his backside, I thought he was amazing. I listened to him talk, and it's very rare that you get to spend time with a founder of a successful business like that, where he is so real, right? Yes. And his passion for, we were talking about the future of employee experience, but you should have been there. We're talking about the future of employee experience. And he's so real to the fact where at the end of the conversation, a young lady called Benny, who was working at Hawksmoor in Liverpool on the floor, used to work for Honest Burger in Liverpool, and he spotted her. And he's, you know, he's got 41 sites, I think. And he spotted her. He went, Benny, he said, we did you wrong in Honest Burger. I'm really sorry. But I'm so glad to see. And they're on a mic being recorded.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you're here and you're happy doing great things here. And she was, you know, she got a round of applause from the room. But that kind of quality, I think, and that kind of attitude needs to be reflected in your tech if you can, or at least you need to try, you know?
But you've got to love that. It's when, like, I love Honest Burgers. So I gave up meat many years ago, and the
disappointed.
Best. And one of the first places to do a really good vegan burger was Honest Burgers.
Well recovered.
No, I didn't say that, not knowing where I was going. But I think you can clearly see, like, the passion of a founder who really understands, one, what he's delivering to the customer, what they are delivering to the customer, but also the fact that this group of people are the ones doing the delivering, and your mighty vision will crash and burn. If people are unhappy on the floor, like if you're not delivering some of the basic things that people need to be able to do their job and to live their lives and manage themselves, then that just reflects. And I think we'd had a conversation earlier about tipping.
Yeah.
And we were talking about James is the co-founder of Tipjar, James Brown, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And this fantastic story of pouring out all the money at the end of the night when he was a youngster working in a pub and being able to divvy up the tips. But actually what's happening with technology today and people leaving tips on cards, it means that there's up to a month between the hard work that I'm going to do on the floor today and when I get paid. So how do I associate, like, me working hard?
Where's my reward? Yeah.
And how do I know I did a good job? I can't see it.
And yeah, I think it's absolutely huge, and I think, and he's part of that tech stack as well, right?
Yes.
James is part of the Honest Burger tech stack, and I think I used to have a Pringles jar, right? I was a waiter in London long time ago, but I used to have my dollars shoved into the Pringles jar, and I could, like you said, I could literally gauge on how full my Pringles jar, how good I was that day, right? And and that's how we used to fund ourselves. We never spent our wages; we just lived off tips. And I think what James is doing is, you know, he is a true operator in the fact that he likes to fit. If he could find a bendy straw, he'd try and straighten it, right? He's one of those guys, and a lot of operations directors are frustrated tech people. That's what I think, and he's proved it. Yeah. And because I think if you gave developer ability to an ops director, oh my God, what would they? God knows what they create. But I think they're really innovative, exciting people who get stuck, right? Because it's hard, because running people is difficult. Running business in this world right now is bloody difficult. And I think the tech industry should be there to serve these guys and really understand what they've got to do, what they're trying to achieve, but then reflect it back. Like we're talking about with Honest, that they've actually put their personality into the tech stack. That sounds really weird, I know.
Yeah.
But from meeting him and spending time with him and seeing what they've got in their product tech stack, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And it does reflect. It's a bit weird to say that, but it does. It does look like him. Yeah. I find it really interesting.
Yeah, and I think you know, when you think about, like, one, technology makes people's lives easier, but sometimes it creates distance between, like, for tips, for instance, between I work hard and I get paid.
Yeah.
Is having card payments creates distance between that. And it actually takes someone who really understands what does that mean for the human, right? Yeah. If I can't feel that, then I'm probably not working as hard as I should or could or want to. And I'm not motivated in the way that you want me to be motivated. So I need to bring this close together again. Even if someone is paying by card, how do I show people that they're getting paid, you know? And then where Deputy would come in that partnership with Tipjar is we know exactly how many hours every individual worked at that location at that time so that you can be fair and transparent. And that's the other thing, is even when companies are being fair and transparent, without being able to be clear and visible on a daily basis with your team, is, you know, that's trust is lost, even if you're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and that's why often people hark back to the old days, because they were easier. And I was chatting to some operators on, we were up in Liverpool at this event, and we had lots of independent businesses, I suppose, from Liverpool, between one and four sites. And we're chatting away to them, and there's about 40 of them in the room. And I said, I asked all of them, what do you do with tips? Because I was interested. And all of them, we don't get involved. We stay out of it, because that's easier for them to just not know what's going on, and they just kind of let the staff deal with it. And if I found it interesting, because once you scale that, obviously you can't do that. You have to be, you have to have some management of it or look after it. So it's really interesting how, as you grow, your ability to build your tech stack also changes as well in terms of what you want to do.
Well, so you're 100% right on that. And I think, so what's driving tipping right now is obviously new legislation coming through. And so people want to remain compliant. There's some pretty hefty fines that can go on the back of that. Leave management is the other thing. Is like
On my list, I had leave, because leave for me. I was at Prime Minister on the board. I don't know if you know those guys. Yeah. We used to do our labour on Excel sheets with all the whole. Oh my god, still gives me palpitations. But it was the heart. We could not find at that point a provider, a workforce management provider, to help us fix that problem. I'm not there anymore. I don't know what they've got now. At that point, we had a solution, and we just never got it accurate.
Have you ever read the law on the
page?
Like,
I left that to a clever person.
it's not easy, and I can imagine you've got, I don't know, 100, 200 staff. If you're a small company, maybe you've got 1,000 staff, and you're trying to measure this along a 52-week rolling average, one which is incredibly complex, but also you lose the in-the-moment ability to understand how much leave does someone have left when they request it? Are they getting low? Is it okay to approve that? And so, again, that creates a disconnection between running your company and managing your team, when what you want is to deliver a plate of food on the table, but actually what you're doing is doing an Excel calculation to work out what leave someone's got left. And then it's like, you know, I need to manage my life, so I've sent you my holiday request, and, like, where has it gone? So that, again, that's one of those things where companies like Deputy, we listen, one, we see what the law is, and our job partially is to help businesses remain compliant. So here's one aspect there. But we can build the technology that manages all of that. So, again, one of the reasons why we're pretty positive when it comes to end-user engagement is everything's on an app. So if I'm working in a bar or a restaurant, I can see what my leave accrual is. I can request holiday on the app. If you're my boss, you can see that come through. You can see how much holiday I've left. And then you can approve or deny my holiday request. But also, you know, when you think about leave, you want to make sure that you're giving everybody a fair crack at the whip as it comes to, like, days off in a row, for instance. You want to make sure that you don't get to the end of the year with like holiday liability.
I laugh because it's such a common... I believe it's still very common that people get to 8 weeks before the end of the holiday year and go, oh my God, we've got
this
60 days to go. We've got to lose the whole floor team for 60 days, or we've got to pay it out, but we don't pay it out. You know, so it becomes that conversation. I still think it's very common. I think the tail is long, as it would be.
Completely. And it's just one of those expenses that catches you on the hop, and particularly in hospitality, in Northern Hemisphere, is like now is when you're making 50% of your money, right?
Couple of months of the year. If not a little bit, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, this time of year, you have that horrible summer period, especially if you sell pies.
Yeah.
it's not
no
great.
One wants a pie in the summer.
No. We started selling ice cream and did all kinds of weird things. But but the winter's great. And I agree, it's not like it's not a focus for people. I think it's just a can that gets kicked down the road sometimes. Totally. And I think if you don't have the capacity within the business, HR director, HR team, people team, then it falls on an ops director. And I'm talking up to 30 sites in some cases where these people are managing that on their own, which is, and when you talk about compliance, that becomes quite scary, right?
Yeah, but even if you're doing that right, one, it's a headache.
Yeah.
It's sucking people's time. It adds no value to the business, right? In fact, what it does is it takes value away from the business, because all that happens is the time between, actually, how many days have I got left?
Yeah.
Right, let me take 2 or 3 days down to that question. And then I request some holiday, and then it goes somewhere else, and then it goes somewhere else, and eventually I get to take my leave. And, you know, oftentimes then it's not right. You know,
yeah.
Like the goodwill is getting lost along the way.
Yeah, the emotional bank account is draining.
So this is it. And I think this is where, so on the deputy side, particularly with technology, particularly with a mobile first kind of approach, this is where, like, it's not a selling point that we come up with, but this is where deputy really helps make sure you as a business, your best intentions are actually delivered to your team, you know, rather than your best intentions getting lost along the way as technology breaks and law creates complications for you. So I think this is one of the places where companies don't change their technology very often.
No.
And quite often there are so many, like we're speaking to a company today that has, I think, 9,000 employees and has no software to manage that. They're doing it with a system that they've created themselves.
I thought I found the only company that existed doing that last year, but you found another. Well done.
Yeah, so it exists. And I think some of these problems are so entrenched that people don't realize that there really is a better way of doing it.
Yeah.
Time and attendance, there's a better way. Time sheets, there's a better way. Leave management, there's a better way. Communication and engagement, there's a better way. Like, and I think that it's sometimes this is the way we've always done it, and these four people.
I was going to say, is there a bit of a fear? Do you think that people like, if it ain't broke, because there's obviously, because the problem with doing it that way, there's lots of human error involved, right? Where on a spreadsheet that you could even accidentally can cause absolute carnage, and this is people's money and holiday pay, whatever. Do you think there's a bit of a fear to change? Like, I always talk about change management in tech. I think it's not often the product you're buying; it's the fact that you've got to change. It's like a menu change. You've got to change something, and it doesn't always go well.
We often talk about that within Deputy, that actually our biggest competitor is change management.
Yeah.
It's not all of the people that are doing the same thing.
No, it's really
doing.
Not.
not doing it as well as we are, but you know what I mean. it really is about how do I help people, individuals, and teams get confident that the new world is so much better than where they are right now.
Yeah.
And I think even coming to the point, so no one likes to touch payroll, right? Payroll is just like, it's the third rail. If anything goes wrong, literally people will be bashing down my door.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the thing that you don't touch. But actually, if you consider, well, what happens traditionally in the run-up to paying payroll is, one, employees self-report their own time. Someone then in head office has to chase for that timesheet. Someone else has got to collate all of those timesheets, put them into some kind of spreadsheet. Someone else has got to put in hourly rates against that and check any policies that you might have, accrual, holidays, are you compliant? And then you send it to payroll, and invariably 10 or 15% of the checks that you're writing, you're either over or underpaying your team. And when you're overpaying, no one's knocking on your door saying, hey, I've got too much money. But
of course not.
When you're underpaying, then it's just the worst experience for...
And it's a three-week cycle, right? And so you only get a week, really, when you're not talking about payroll.
Yeah.
The rest of it's just... And what's really interesting, we had a lady called Corrie, who won't mind me mentioning her name, in Prime Minister, South African lady, lovely. But everything was about Corrie. If Corrie wasn't here, we were in trouble. And when I spoke to the ever-so-sensible pub group that called these guys up in the Midlands, who I met through the website the other week, who wanted some help with their tech stack, they also had a Corrie. And they were talking about it openly in front of me, saying, but what if she's sick? What if she... And I was just thinking, how many bloody Corries are... And it's because it's what we do. It's the nature of what we do. We're like, let's put someone really nice and safe in front of this payroll stuff. And we just won't let her ever have a day off for a holiday. And she will manage this. And it's just so dangerous doing that, because God bless Corrie. I'm sure she can do a million other things than worry about... And I think Corrie hated payroll as well. She dreaded it.
Well, I mean, payroll is one thing. It's the data that feeds it.
Yeah, well, that was them doing, you know, they were harnessing spreadsheets and then moving numbers left to right, and then probably ended up getting the blame when things didn't go well, you know, which is really unfair.
So we describe Deputy as the airplane and payroll as the landing strip.
I like that.
All right. And so this easy thing where, again, it's the mobile experience. You can check in on your mobile, but only when you're on location. So if
it's geolocated when you're...
You can't check out when you're half an hour away. So everybody's got confidence.
Damn.
Yeah. You can apply all your pay rates and policies that automatically go because you've set that up in the system. It's really easy to see that, like, as a team member, you can look on your app and you can see what you're going to get paid for that shift. It all goes to payroll. And we got customers on average are saving 5 or 6% on their payroll. Winter Wonderland, who obviously we love Winter Wonderland, can't wait to go there with my team this year for Christmas. They were using a lot of agency staff. They're obviously a lot of people with timesheets and that whole process that we were able to automate through Deputy. They were able to save 12% on their payroll in the first year.
Wow.
So it's like, yes, it's not easy to go from whatever it is that you're doing to something new. But I think if you can really get in under the skin and understand, you know, what's going to be different when I get there, then, you know, those, like, it's 800 people, so 12% on your payroll, that's worth.
That's pretty cool. I think you're on top of their Christmas card list.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but it's, I think there are so many companies that are doing the best that they can because the idea of change is such a big one.
Yeah.
That actually I would, whether it's Deputy or anybody else.
Yeah, no, I wrote a blog on it the other week about how I actually think we're focusing on the wrong problem.
Yeah.
That, you know, when we rolled out ProNet in Carluccio's years ago, and it was it's a maintenance management app, and we did it really badly. You know, and I was one of the directors at the time, but we just did it really bad. We had 100 sites. It was just a disaster. And and not that it broke the business, we just didn't get any value on it. You know, we just put it in and no one really landed it. And I think the problem was not the tech, the problem was us.
Yeah.
Because we didn't take time, we didn't A/B test it, we didn't stick it in one site, we didn't do it by region. You know, all the usual stuff you would imagine by, because when they do a menu rollout or a price change or a team change, they do it really well.
Yes.
I mean, they are good at that. So I don't know why with tech it's kind of like, oh yeah, just put it in, see if it works. Oh, it didn't work, Mr. Salesman, you lied. Yeah so it's strange. But I think it's something that's definitely rising up the agenda for people.
Yeah, and I think where we see this really prevalent is when you have businesses that have other technology.
Yeah.
And particularly, I just call them tech forward businesses, people that are using technology to make their business work better so they can focus on the reason why they're there. You tend to find that they have a team of people in situ. And so when we're speaking to a client and they have a team, we immediately know that's going to be simple. When we're speaking to a client and they don't have a team, then there's a ton of hand-holding because they really got to understand what does it take on the other side. It is worth it. It is valuable. But if you don't really have any
technology, but you can't just switch it on. You know?
No.
Yeah.
And so the automation of all of this is Deputy is known for being one of the most easiest tools to manage, best user experience. But like, simplicity comes from understanding complexity, right?
Yes.
So every company operates different. They have different pay rates, different rules, overtime, like different laws that apply, all of that stuff. And so you have to really understand every single thing that can affect your business. We plug that all into the system. That takes time to kind of set up, but it's time really well spent. And then the engine just runs. And
then you're on the plane.
pointing to the landing strip. Yeah.
Love that. I mean, we've only gone half an hour, and I wish I could talk more to you. What in terms of efficiencies and driving productivity and all, you know, when we actually zero in on scheduling and that kind of and that kind of stuff as we talk about, how much benefit are you seeing operators getting from you guys once they really get to grips with that in terms of using Deputy? Are they seeing efficiencies quite quickly, or how long is it, or how long is a piece of string?
Scheduling's immediate. I've spoken to businesses that are spending hours per day for weeks planning the schedule. Great example, Tron Theatre in Glasgow. Now, you might kind of go, well, how complex is a theatre? Well, they have 5 shows a day.
Already complex.
70 staff. But all of those staff have other jobs. They're students or they're working actors or whatever it happens to be. And so it's very, very complex. And they were spending 3 hours a day for 2 weeks to create the schedule because then you need all that flexibility and people can't come in and all of that stuff. Pretty soon after implementing Deputy, it takes a couple of hours total. So from 30 hours of somebody's time down to like 3.
Because you go to them, right? As in the app goes to them where they are today, now.
Yes.
Not, oh, drop me an email when you can work next week. And that might change by the time I read it because Jess can't do this and John can't do that. And
totally.
I don't know if you've met Matt from Yuda. I'd probably give him far too much press. Matt Grimshaw.
Not, but
so Yuda is this, it's kind of what I call, it's like the plumbing that connects all of the people technology. It's
right.
Really, we'll introduce you.
Okay,
but he talked about the fact, what you were talking before about holiday.
Mm.
Yuda will release a WhatsApp or a Slack message or a workspace message from Deputy saying to Jess, oh, Jess, you haven't had a holiday in 4 weeks. You should look at taking one the next 2 weeks kind of thing,
yeah.
Which will then report back into the other system and it all talks together. That's but cool. It's a really interesting, I've probably really undersold it there, but it's a really interesting way of going to where people are rather yeah. than, and I think the app does that, right, because they've got it on their phone,
totally.
Rather than the old days where it was very much like trying to find people. But yeah. I think that's a big power of influence, isn't it?
Most definitely. And I think it's where technology takes account of the humanity that you're managing, yes. right? So human capital management, all this, these words just sound so terrible. So when you're completing a schedule, you want the schedule to look at, one, how many contracted hours does this person have, right? And are we over-scheduling or under-scheduling them, right? So we need to, that's important from a business standpoint because you don't want to pay overtime if you don't have to. There's also a point important from an individual standpoint of where they're getting overworked. Are they doing mornings or evenings? Are they mostly working weekends? You know, where is their leave balance? What's their unavailability? All of these things that when you're on a manual solution, it's pretty hard to take account of that. And in something like Deputy, you have all of that, that optimizes immediately. So you can choose how you want to optimize your schedule, and you want to optimize it for contracted hours, or you want to optimize it for individuals and, you know, when they work best, etc. So you can do all of those kind of things in it. And then you mentioned about that kind of communication yeah. piece is probably two of the parts of Deputy that we never ever talk about. Is one, there's an internal communications channel, so you can chat to people who are on the same shift as you. So that's pretty cool. And lots of companies use that feature just to be able to communicate and make sure that everybody's on top of things during the shift. But also a feature called Shift Pulse, that when you finish your shift, you basically rate your shift, how good was it, and you leave a comment. And it means that over time, businesses get a really good understanding of what's the stress level within my organization, or I've changed this thing last month, do people like it or not like it? And so you've got a real kind of...
Well, that's that A-B testing we were talking about, yeah. where you can kind of really put stuff out there and see what if it's working.
Yeah, and you just get a bit of a pulse on the business, and you kind of go, right, are people liking what I'm selling here or not? And it just, I think, particularly in a hospitality business where how people show up for the customer determines how much money you earn.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that if you're changing something, it's helping people do their job rather than getting in the way, you know?
Love it. I mean, look, as I said, we don't have enough time, as always, on this bloody thing. But we're going to do a road test with Deputy, so we'll take your stuff on the road and we'll quiz you on YouTube in the next few weeks, hopefully. But how can people get hold of you, Mr. Senior Vice President?
Dear. Well, for me personally, just find me on LinkedIn, but
yeah, okay.
just deputy.com, you'll get hold of us.
Fantastic. And if you can't find them there, the guys are on the marketplace. Go and check them out.
Yes.
Really interesting speech. You welcome to the world of hospitality.
Love it.
Yeah. Enjoy. It's madness. And we shall catch you all next week. Thank you very much,
Chris,
for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Cheers.